Hey, welcome to the DeviantArt Podcast. My name is Matt Buchholz. You may know me as Gigi Meppy, and today we're doing a whole new podcast. We've got things changed a little bit. You may notice I'm not in the kitchen anymore. I'm back in the studio, which is pretty cool. And we're changing things up. Instead of being every other week, we're hitting a slightly different cadence. We're bringing you an all new podcast, different style, different information, and what's even more exciting, a new co-host. Khalil, what up?
I thought they would be cheering, but hi.
We're still basically at home.
I know. Gotta get used to lockdown. I'm starting to imagine people cheering for me.
Right. Oh my gosh. It's so sad. This is the way to start off the podcast.
Right. Just
remember your friends.
Remember your friends.
So Khalil, you used to work at DeviantArt. We couldn't get enough of you. So you're back as co-host of the podcast. I'm so excited to have you as a part of this.
Thank you. Thank you. I used to be a part of the community team inside of DeviantArt. And I'm very familiar with how the community works. So we had a good time. I'm also a student of animation. I'm pursuing animation full time. And so I know I know the struggle, and I also know all the good loving moments of trying to pursue your dream and trying to be the best that you can be in this industry. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun time with us.
It's gonna be awesome. Yeah. So people know about me at this point because I've done like a year of the podcast, but let's get people to know a little bit about you. Okay. Because they know I have a mustache. They know I've got a mustache. And also they know I've got a mustache. But for you.
So diverse.
Yeah. I mean, tons of facts. Really close with our audience. But let's talk about like what you enjoy. So you're studying animation right now.
Mm-hmm.
What animated films do you love? What anime do you love? What do you get into?
All right. Okay. So I'm a big fan of anime in general. So I watch a lot of anime.
Top three anime you're watching right now.
Ooh, Jujutsu. Okay. Top three anime, not in quite in the same order that
don't
I
have
love
to be
them.
In order.
Okay.
No pressure.
Okay. Good.
No pressure.
Okay.
Just three right. You're watching.
All right. So Jujutsu Kaisen. If anybody hasn't been watching that, watch it. It's great. My Hero Academia, of course. The new season's about to come out, so keep your eye out for that. And
Plus Ultra.
Oh my God. Yes. I wasn't prepared. And every time I want to punch something. And the third one, Magica Madoka, which is like a very, very, very dark version of Sailor Moon.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, see it, but be prepared to be like, oh God, shocked.
You got me on the third one. That's the one I haven't heard of yet. So I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. It's basically just magical girls, but in real life, like how they would, it's just dark and I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like, wow.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
Your feelings will get hurt.
Yes, that's what I look for. I love that you've started off on two things. Like one, welcome to the podcast. I remember when we used to see people. And two, watch this anime. Your feelings will get hurt.
Oh, damn. I should try a little. Your happiness is real.
What I love is having been able to work with you for a couple of years. I know that you have like the heart and like the love for everyone. So it's so funny that like the things you enjoy are these like dark moments.
I got to balance myself out somehow, right?
Exactly, right?
I'm super cheerful all the time, but then, you know, I got to watch something that like reminds me that things are scary, you know?
Yeah, but you and I are going to be going back and forth throughout the podcast. We're both going to be hosting all of the episodes. So it's really exciting to have someone to share this with and get to talk to people with. And so thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be really fun. I'm excited.
It's going to be so fun. Yeah. And with this new style, we get to do different, we get to talk to a lot more artists. We don't have to be live with them anymore. So we can fully global.
Yeah. Tons of flexibility to see like all these different artists that exist that may not always be able to sit in a chair right next to us. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's one of the positive things about being in the lockdown and the pandemic is like, we've really opened up the doors to like, what we can do and who we can talk to.
Yeah. And a lot of cool segments. Now that we're recording everything ahead of time, we can bring you guys a lot more to see. So like today, we're going to show you some cool artist workstations.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty into that.
Yeah. I don't want to see mine.
I've been working on an aquarium for, I kid you not, like 6 months. There's no water in it. There's a Magikarp plushie in it. Oh my God. That is it.
A Magikarp plushie.
Yeah, and that just got in there this week. it has been rough. All right. Without further ado, though, let's get into this episode. Today, we've got an awesome episode for you guys. We've got Karan Kaiser-Stone, who is an amazing illustrator, animator, and down in Burbank right now. And they're going to cover a lot of stuff. We really enjoyed our interview with them.
Yeah, it was really, really, really fun. He's just a brilliant person. I'm excited for y'all to see how positive he is. He's very inspiring. As far as like his mind, the way his mind works, I'm just gonna leave everything very vague for y'all. But
don't spoil.
I'm trying really hard not to spoil.
But like, let's say some things that they can look forward to in this talk. Mm-hmm. One, he teaches you how to play with the mind of the masses, as he calls it, to mm-hmm. experiment with your art and really learn how an audience receives it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Two. All right, two. Okay, great one. He worked on projects like Batman. He worked on Young Justice. A lot of like really, really popular superheroes that that you definitely have to know. If you don't know Batman and his story by now, as many times as they've run it. Oh, man.
Sounds like he comes from a supportive home.
Oh, yeah. Very supportive.
And also what I love is he does stuff like What If. He mm-hmm. makes these mashups of art where you're just going to find like, what if all the mascots for fast food chains were in a fighting game together? Mm-hmm. What would they look like? And outstanding, just brilliant mind.
Yeah. The kinds of adventures that he has created with these well-known characters have been kind of mind-blowing. And you'll see there's a lot of videos of him doing it. It's really, really cool. I'm like, I try real hard not to spoil for y'all, but you're going to love it.
We'll share some of those videos. So make sure to pay attention in that interview, which is coming up right now. So welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Wow. Thank you for having me.
Excited to get to talk with you today.
I'm a huge fan of DeviantArt, man. I've been on DeviantArt ever since 2005. Mm-hmm. And, they're a big reason on why I work in animation. That's where I was posting my artwork. That's the reason why people in the industry saw my work and wanted to hire me, is because they saw it on DeviantArt. Studios were paying attention as well, like Warner Brothers, and they called me up out of the random when I came home from work as a security guard, and they asked me if I was interested in working for them.
That's a crazy call to get.
Just out of nowhere. I mean, I knew some of the people online mm-hmm. That worked at Warner Brothers, but I had no clue that they were like talking to the people who are responsible for. So you know, they could hire me in a day.
What was the like content that they hired you for? Like, do you know what images that they saw that really piqued their interest in you?
I really don't know exactly. I mean, I just know that every one of the artists that my first day at Warner Brothers mm-hmm. knew who I was.
Oh, that's dope. Could you imagine walking into an office? I want to walk into an office and be like, everybody knows me. Thanks.
Yeah. But it was kind of a big experiment at that time because mm-hmm. at that, when they hired me about mm-hmm. 10 years ago, they didn't really hire people from the internet that often. Mm.
Oh yeah, because that's like fairly I want to say like fairly new now being hired off of social media, because in that time you probably had to bring in like physical portfolios, you had to be in the area. So honestly, your talent speaks volumes if you were one of the first 10 years ago to be hired off of the internet.
Yeah, I was definitely up there with being one of the first. My friend, close friend, Chris Copeland. Mm-hmm. He's one of the others that was discovered off the internet, we might have been the first Black guys.
I love that. I love that. Sorry.
But I think we were the first Black guys to be hired off the internet.
That's dope.
But I think it was also to reduce the amount of space that they were taking up, physical space they're taking up to look at these portfolios. It's all digital now. So
originally you did a lot of work with a mouse. Like you didn't even have a tablet at first. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been working with drawing with the mouse ever since like MS Paint
Someone who suffered MS Paint, like, I shudder when I hear that. Like, like, kids these days don't know. Yeah. They got Clip Studio and Paint Tool Sci, Photoshop and all that.
But there's so many options now.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, kids these days, they're like, what? Dinosaurs, MS Paint?
Dinosaurs and MS Paint together. We got to throw the floppy disk in there.
When the meteor came down.
All they're remembering is the old stuff. It's a lot of old. I used to draw on MS Paint with the mouse, and I just carried that on to, like, when I learned Photoshop.
You said you were kind of doing experiments. You were uploading it to, like, learn stuff and kind of test the audience. What sort of things were you doing with that? Like, how were you experimenting?
I always experimented in very weird, unexplainable ways. So much so that I can't even explain I just like to come up with play with the minds of the masses. Yeah.
Talking about that, like, playing with the minds and experimenting, you created a whole group where the purpose was to kind of push each other and experiment. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Like, I'd love to hear more about this.
Yeah. Me and my friend Bob String, who's, you know, he's a strange dude, his last name is String. We were having a long chat and thinking about, like, all of what we don't do. And so we decided that we wanted to not only have it just two of us, but get a couple of guys who are our friends online. So we got like four of our friends to be in a group to do what we don't normally do, and put that in post those drawings. And the group started becoming popular. I mean, in fact, all of us now work in animation. Every single one of us.
All of you. Like, that's a good stamp to have on there.
We all got jobs around the same time. I feel like they were just like, oh, let's get another one from the group.
A lot of artists get caught up in this mindset of, if I'm in this group, I will just suddenly gain this skill. And it's really about just doing the practice, right? So, I mean, I would like to hear more thoughts about that as well. It's like doing the practice as opposed to trying to join a popular group that it makes beautiful work. Because it's not just about the beautiful work.
No, it's not. It's much more about, like, you. It's not about who you're friends with all of the times and, like, what, what groups you want to inject yourselves in. It's like, you don't really need to do that. I hate when, because I get it every single day. Hey, what tablet do you use?
Oh, like, yeah. What's your favorite pencil?
Yeah, what's your favorite pencil?
Yeah, what brush?
Like, what program do you use? I'm like, if I give you this information, are you going to think that this program makes you good? You know, because you have to do the work. You have to make yourself good.
You should tell them a mouse.
Yeah.
You should be like, I use a mouse. That speaks volumes as to, like, how you literally, if you really want to draw, if you really want to do your work, if you really want to be successful in this field, you're going to use the tools that you have to do it. If you only have paper and a pen, you're going to do it with a paper and a pen. If you have paper mache, you're going to find out how to mold it, right? You're going to use the materials you have. If you blood, you're just going to use blood. Like, this dates back to cavemen drawing on walls.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm in love with art. Like, I love it. I love it all. So if it has anything to do with it, I'm probably going to learn it faster than I learn anything else, you know? So if it's fashion design, I've never done it, but I'm pretty sure I could probably learn it more than anybody else here. You know,
because your style is definitely
thanks. I try to incorporate that stuff in, like, a lot of the characters that I do, man, because I look at everything, man. Like somebody said when I posted, like, the Flash the other day or today, I forget. I draw so much.
It's COVID times. No one knows
what's time. What's time?
I draw so much. I totally forget it. But they said that it looks functional, like the outfit that he was wearing. I was like, because I think about it. Like, I'm really thinking about how would he move in this outfit? How can I make it so that if somebody was to make it into a cosplay outfit, how would that look on them? You know?
Can you remember the moment that you realized I love drawing?
That's actually a really, that's a better question than most. Everybody say, they usually say, when did you start drawing? I was like, I don't remember. Everybody draws when they're a kid. But when did I start to like it or love it? I think it was back when I was 10, maybe 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I looked around and I realized that no one can do what I'm doing. And that's the reason why they're asking me to do what they can't do.
Oh, you were the person that people asked to draw all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? They wanted me to draw for them because they couldn't draw or extract reality the way I do and turn it into pictures. And so I was like, I like this. They think it's like magic. So I'm just going
to. It kind of is.
Yeah.
Right? You're literally taking something and putting it onto a blank page.
Yeah.
And just bringing life to it, right? And
yeah, yeah.
You're coming from your mind.
Yeah. I mean, you're drawing from what is in order to modify it and add your unique take on the reality that you live. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you draw it back out mm-hmm. on canvas. Whatever canvas that is, drawing, you know, that's what we do.
When you put your work out, it's really truly an experiment. It really goes out without any kind of self-consciousness.
This sounds like I'm an asshole, but I really and truly don't care. I just sort of, you know, if I have this idea and I think it's kind of cool and it's like, and sort of smart. I'm like, what am I smart for? I put it out. I draw it up and I put it out on the internet. And fortunately, like over the years, and it's been a while, more people like it than people who don't. If people don't like it, it's like they have the right to not like what they don't like, you know? But they might like my next piece, you know, because I got something else. I got weird ideas all day.
I love that you found this way to be completely impervious to the imposter syndrome that I think 99% artists face, because even the way that you were talking about earlier is Warner Brothers called me up. I didn't think that was necessarily something I could do, but you know what? They wanted me, so I must be able to do it. Like, yeah. What an incredible point of view. Like, that is outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for artists out there who are struggling with that confidence and, like, get in their heads about being able to accomplish something, no matter if other people are telling them they have the skill or not, how would you recommend them getting in a more healthy headspace?
I sound like an old man if that's, like, if I was to say this, but just do it, baby. Don't worry what people think. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I think it's a little easier these days to have confidence enough to, you know, ask a big studio like Warner Brothers and Disney, because so many other social networks, like, you know, give you that confidence. They'll tell you in your comments, you can read it, that looks great, blah, 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 and this and that, right? And so people, I feel like they have more confidence behind that. But because there's so many people trying to do that, trying to get a job at these big studios, it's much more competition. So I feel like that's what more people are intimidated by, the amount of people that are, you know, that they have to contend against.
You're already in the industry. You're working on projects back and forth, something you can talk about, something you can't. And so now what is the future of Kaiser? Like what is your biggest dream, biggest accomplishment, goal that you want to get to?
I don't know if I could say that.
Ah, okay.
Secrets. But it involves other artists. Okay. Like it's a way of doing kind of what Warner Brothers did to me, but it's more of like, what story do you want to tell? Mm.
giving a platform.
Yeah, that's what I want to do with future generations of artists.
You're incredibly inspiring. I've learned a lot just from like going through your art so much so frequently and just recently. I knew about your work before, but now I'm like, you can basically call me well studied on you. But I think one thing that I can say that I took away from talking to you and just from being able to have a conversation with you is that is just to put yourself out there and just let the world take what you have and make whatever of it and just move forward and not bother yourself and burden yourself with and care. Like that's the thing that I really took away. It's like, stop giving a shit. Like don't care. Yeah. just do it. And like, call it a day.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I appreciate you for that. I do.
Thank you. Yeah. It's like, so many people take too much time thinking about what other people think. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, how about you? You know, give yourself some time. You know, that's what it has to be about. Like you sometimes. I mean, you know, not you all of the time.
I leave this and I'm like, I only think about me all day.
Yeah. But what about me? But mom, what about me? It's me, baby. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like learning for, I forgot what we were just talking about. Sorry about that. we're so deep. I was like, well, where are we? Yeah, it was awesome talking to you guys, by the way. Very comfortable.
That was an amazing interview. I absolutely love Corinne. He's super, super positive. And I can't even believe that he's been drawing some of those drawings with his mouse.
Like, right?
It just goes to show that you don't really need really expensive equipment in order to create. You just need the drive the want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking at some of those, like I'm like, I can't draw this with a pen. And then I see like what he's listed as and it's like drawn with mouse.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. It just blows me away because I mean, I know I've tried to like do some drawings with on an iPad with my finger and even just like drawings with a pencil. And I look at his and I'm like,
so good.
Yeah.
But I think what you were saying earlier, like it really is about that creative drive. If mm-hmm. you have that creativity inside you, you want to find a way to express that.
Yeah. You're going to find a way to express it. It's never going to be, I can't express myself because I don't have enough of the material. I don't have money, because there's plenty of artists out there that have really just used anything from mud to coffee to create all of these different beautiful pieces of art. And they've moved on. It's crazy to think that he was found before he got his waking, right? He was found while doing his mouse work. So yeah. it's insane.
Until he started working at like Warner Brothers did he have a tablet.
Right. So like
incredible.
It's insane. So it should be a big lesson to anyone that's watching to just create with whatever you have, just create and people will see it
Speaking of creating, mm-hmm. let's run a contest. So yes, we want to see what you guys can create using only a mouse.
Oh my gosh,
on DeviantArt, we want you guys to create artwork that you have drawn only with a mouse. And if you win, you're not going to be drawing with a mouse much longer because we're going to give you a Wacom 1 tablet.
Mm. Like, oh, and let's extend this. Let's like you can also use a trackpad. So just so that you don't feel like a trap. Okay. I think a trackpad would also.
Yes.
But I would love to see like a lot of these drawings with a mouse or trackpad. It's going to be insane.
Yeah. So what you want to do is go onto DeviantArt, deviantart.com/team, find the journal that's associated with this podcast, and all the rules are going to be there for you, how to enter, what the time frame is, all of that. We all want to say it because you could be listening to this or watching this at any time. Mm-hmm. So check that out to make sure that you're on the right time, but make sure to hashtag your art with #DAMouseDraw, all one word. Mm-hmm. And that way we can find it. I'm going to be looking through them. I'm going to be seeing what you guys create.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be looking through them as well. I wonder, like, maybe we should like show some of these pieces in our next one, huh?
I'm down to show off some of the pieces we enjoy.
A little presentation. I like
it. And again, one of you will be getting a Wacom 1 drawing tablet out of this. So yeah, make sure to share your art that you create using a mouse or a trackpad, no tablet.
We want to see what you can create with, exactly, with what you have when it comes to a mouse or trackpad. What if you only had a mouse or trackpad? What can you do? Show us your drive.
Speaking of creativity, let's see some creative spaces where artists around the world create their art. Like, let's see where you guys make your art happen and make your creativity happen.
Hi guys, I'm Simone Grunewald, a visual development artist from Germany. You might know me as Schmödraws from social media, and I would like to show you my workspace today. So let's have a look. Let's start with an overview. I share this room with my husband. He also works from home. Here you can see a ring light, which is good for filming when you're filming on such rainy, gloomy days such as this. I really love that we have so many plants in here. But here you can see my desktop computer. I work on that for work mainly. I'm fastest on that. But in the recent years, I've also worked a lot on my iPad with Procreate, which I really love. Then you can see a mirror, which is not very clean, as I can see. But that's good for facial expressions and stuff. So I recommend having one close by. Then, yeah, my book from another artist I really find inspirational. Then, since I consider myself one-third also traditional artist, I have lots of traditional materials around and within reach. So you can have a look in my little drawers. Here, more pencil stuff. These I really love, col arrays. I hope they never stop producing them. And fine liners. So here we have lots of those. But that's not all. I really have more. You can see Copics and my pencil case, more artwork from artists I adore. My mangas, which I really love. Brushes. So it's all around, which I can sort of reach quickly from sitting here. And these are books I've had printed, books from other artists I find inspirational, so I can also have a look at them. Down there, there is more books which I find inspirational, and also my sketchbooks. And then my inspiration wall, which is also a very fancy backdrop. As you can see, it is really a fancy backdrop. I have it behind me in video calls and such. And yes, I hope you found this insightful and have enjoyed this. So, bye-bye.
Okay, wow. I'm really going to have to get some of those things because some of that equipment I need.
I was shamed.
Right. I feel I'm working on a pillow. I'm here trying to figure out. Yeah, I mean, it's comfortable, but I might need some of those things. I'm jealous. I'm not going to lie.
Good. Yeah. Now I see, like, this is like when artists are like, what brush pack do you use? I'm going to be like, what's your desk setup? I'm going to come in with that and act like I can draw like any of these artists do.
Oh, man.
Well, that's excellent. And that wraps up our first episode of the podcast of this new style.
Look at us.
Episode one, done.
Donezo.
How do you feel?
I feel good. I'm glad. I'm happy to be here and just to be able to talk to these artists because it's very inspiring. I definitely could use the inspiration, and yeah, it's just going to be great. I'm really excited for what we're going to do.
Stoked that you're here because we've been friends for years now, and it is so fun to get to do this.
And now we're doing this on camera in front of millions of people.
literally millions. I just want you guys to know that the number that you see down here isn't an accurate portrayal of how many people are watching this. It is literally millions. So with those millions of people, please make sure to follow, subscribe, and leave a comment below. We will be reading all the comments, and we do enjoy hearing from you guys, hearing what you enjoy and knowing what you would like to see in future episodes of the podcast. So please, again, like, follow, subscribe, engage, and enter that contest for the Wacom 1 tablet using the hashtag DA mouse draw.
Right.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for coming.